with us this morning into Daniel chapter number 4, or chapter number 3, Daniel chapter number 3. You know, God spoke of Abraham and he said, I know my servant Abraham and I know he'll teach his children my statutes. He said, I know he'll teach my offspring, my people that I'm choosing to do right. Abraham is a great example of what a father should be doing, what a father needs to do. But in the book of Daniel, we see some examples of some men who left an example behind of what dads need to be in this day and time and what dads can do. They were the same as what Abraham did, but I think the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, teach us a great lesson as we look to God's Word. If you found Daniel chapter number 3, if you're able to stand with us, we'd ask you to stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. If you can't stand, we understand that. In verse number 1, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth therefore 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then an herald cried, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall that same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Turn in your Bibles on over to verse number 29. And it says, therefore, this is King Nebuchadnezzar speaking, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this great day that you've given us. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning to be able to call upon your name. We thank you this morning that as we call upon you, we know that you're able to stir our hearts and to meet our needs as only you can do. We thank you this morning for this special day as we kick off our vacation Bible school, as we honor our fathers, but most of all, Lord, as we honor you, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Heavenly Father, the one that knows our hearts and knows our desires and knows our needs, the one that can do all things and anything in which we stand in need. We ask you this morning to be in our midst, to stir our hearts and lives, and to help us, God, this morning, just to see in your word those things that would help us, Lord, to be what you'd want us to be, where you'd want us to be, and how you'd want us to be. Help us to grow in your word this morning, and we thank you for what we know you're going to do, because we ask it today. In Jesus' name we pray and say amen. You may be seated. The problem that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was facing was a problem that's not uncommon unto us today. There was false gods all around them. False gods were abounding. False gods that they were dealing with. False gods that they were confronting. And friends, if you think we don't have that to deal with today, we still have the same problems. Amen. Each and every one of us sometimes are guilty of building up things and building up a false gods jobs in our lives that take away from us. As you see in the verses that we read, how we see what had happened when Nebuchadnezzar decided to make himself a false god. We have false religion in this world because men choose to worship false gods. We have false Christians, hypocrites in our churches because they want to worship false gods. Sometimes we want to worship ourselves and we want to follow our own desires. Let me tell you something. You can do whatever you want to, but you're just a false god, no matter how you look at it. How the Bible tells us that they done everything they could. They made it up. They set it up. They propped it up. They worked it up. Stirred it up. But it was still just a false god. Amen. And everything that they did and everything that they tried to do to promote this image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, it was still just a false god. Amen. I want you to know something. No matter what it is that you put before God and you make more important than God, becomes a false god in your life. We don't want to understand that. We don't want to accept that. We don't want to deal with that. But it's a reality. Anything we place before God in our lives becomes a false god. But you know what happened? When Nebuchadnezzar had done everything that he could to set this image up, the Bible tells us that the Lord showed up. They got all shook up. Then Nebuchadnezzar stood up, and then he spoke up, and he proclaimed that there is no God like the real God. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, we need to get that in our hearts and minds today. We need to set that before us. There's nothing that we can make up. There's nothing that we can attribute to. There's nothing that we can attain to. There's nothing that we can go to or look to that's more important than God. Our own man-made religions, our own desires of what we want to do, the things that become more important. I'm talking about things like I heard Brother Hill preached one time as we had him here for a revival. He said, I believe that man has found himself a new golden calf. He said it's green and they call it John Deere. And on Sunday, they like to mow the lawn with it. Amen. That's more important than coming to worship God. How we see people, they like to go camping. They like to go fishing. They like to go and run off and have getaways and this and that. When they should be looking to the Lord. Remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. Amen. We done preached that last week. It stands true every day. There's nothing more important on the Lord's day than worshiping Jesus. Amen. Keep it holy. It's all about Him. Amen. But we put everything in front of Him. We put everything more important. Now, I understand there's things that some of us have to do. There's some of us have jobs that are caretakers. And there's nurses and doctors and nursing homes and people that need care. The Lord understands all that. But in your heart, where is God? In your heart, how important is He? And what place does He play? Is He more important than everything else in your life? He'll let you know one day. He'll let you know somehow that He is more important. But as Nebuchadnezzar had set this god up that he worked up and he made up and he set up and he propped it up and he done everything else to make it seem important. God's word still says over in Jeremiah, shall man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. Amen. We can do whatever we want to and we can set whatever we want to in front of God, but it will still not displace God and it still will not be a God that can do anything for you. Over in Isaiah, God said, man, you go gather your wood, you take it to the artificer and he makes an image and he overlays it with gold or silver or whatever and he sets it up on the mantle. He said, but it's still no God. It can still do nothing for you. You still have to carry it about wherever you go and it can do nothing for you. There is no God but the living God. There is no God but Jehovah, our Lord God in heaven. Amen. And we need to get that in our minds. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men that can lay some things down for us that we need to see here that would help us if we would just follow their examples. Look at verses 8 to 12. The Bible says here in our text, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he had everything covered. He thought he had it all taken care of. But now three of his most trusted advisors, three of his most trusted leaders were in disobedience unto him. They weren't going to bow down to his image. They weren't going to worship his God because they chose in their heart not to worship any God but the living God. I tell you, if dads today and moms today and boys and girls today would purpose in their hearts that they're not going to place anything before God, they're not going to make any other gods to worship other than the Lord God, that would go a great way setting the church apart from the rest of the world. The problem is in the world today, the world can see no difference. Because we want to worship the same gods that everybody else is worshiping. Amen. Instead of being in church on Sunday, we want to go to the ball game. Instead of being in church on Sunday, we want to be down at the RV park camping. Instead of worshiping God on Sunday, we want to be doing everything but what we should be doing and where we should be doing it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego set themselves apart. They were noted. They didn't just say there's just some obscure people that's not doing it. Amen? They pointed them out by name. They were identified because they set themselves apart and they wasn't going to worship the false gods of the world. You remember when they took the disciples and they beat them and they persecuted them for preaching the gospel? They said, look, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now you can make all the gods you want to. You can set up all the images you want to. You can work it up and make it up and do everything that you want to. But we're not going to bow down to it. Amen. You know, we need to tell the world by the lives that we live. You can do whatever you want to, but we're not going to succumb to the same thing that everybody else do. We're going to stay true to the living God. We're not going to worship your false gods. We're not going to go the way that you're dragging us down and the things that you want us to do. There are no false gods to worship, and we're not going to worship them. And then verses 13 to 18, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready at the time that you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now look, Nebuchadnezzar's mad. He's angry. You know what? We got a world that's angry at Christians when they don't want to succumb to the things of the world. When we don't want to do what everybody else does. When we don't want to go, man, when we stand against the murder of the unborn. Amen? When we stand against the legalization of drugs and the legalization of these things. Everybody has known for generations that marijuana is a gateway drug, but they're legalizing it all over America. We're in the midst of one of the biggest drug problems we've ever had. And what are we doing? We're going to make it easier to get them. And when God's people stand up against it, our politicians, those that have been elected and those that have a voice in the public arena, Say, well, Christians are going to have to learn to rethink the way that they see things. Not this one. Sin's still sin. I don't care what the world says. They can get mad all they want to. Look what their answer was in verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not going to craft up something to make it sound good to answer you. We're going to tell you what's in our heart and what our true convictions really are. We're not going to placate you and make you feel that everything's all right. Try to give you a warm and fuzzy feeling about us. We're going to tell you how it really is. You know, that's what we need, some Christians that aren't afraid to tell it how it really is. Yeah. Amen. Well, you know, it's not that big a deal. And, you know, we can do it. They said, we're not careful. We're not careful. This is what God said, and this is what we're telling you. This is what God said, and this is what we're going to do. Look at verse 17. If so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. He said, our God is able. If so be, if it's his will, our God is able to deliver us out of thy hand. He's able to deliver us out of the furnace. We're trusting God. We're trusting the living God. We're trusting the God that has a record of getting things done. We're trusting the one who's answered prayer before. We're trusting the one whom we've seen exceedingly and abundantly above all that could be asked or think or thought about him. We're trusting him because we know him. But look at verse number 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, most Christians today will say they want to trust God when everything's going to go their way. Most Christians today will trust God when everything is going their way. Our God is able. Our God, man, we walk up down the streets with you. Our God is able. But they don't want to accept verse 18. But if not, he's still our God. But if not, that doesn't change him a bit. I know people that expected God to heal them of something and they got discouraged. They got bent out of shape. And they got all angry because of everything that they was going through. Had a brother last week. Been out a few services. I've just been having trouble with all these things going on. He said, I just wrestled with God. He said, and I lost. And I lost. Amen. Just because God doesn't do things. He said, I read in the Bible and God did this and he did that and he healed this one and healed that. I said, yeah, but he didn't heal everybody everywhere that he went. He didn't change everybody's situation everywhere that he went. But he proved that he could. Amen. But he said his grace would always be sufficient. His grace would always meet your need. His grace would always suffice. When the doctor says you got cancer and you pray, oh God, heal me, and he don't heal you, and you get mad at God, why are you getting mad at God? He's still God. We talk to people sometimes, and you know, I used to say, well, at least I'm on this side. You know, I'm not on the other side. You ever stop and think about it? How foolish a statement that is to the child of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. People say, well, at least I'm on this side of the sod. Nobody wants to die, but stop and think about it for a minute. Amen. Stop and think about it. To be absent from the body is to be present. You say, well, I'll miss my wife, I'll miss my kids, I'll miss my loved ones. No, you won't. You'll be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. And nothing else will matter. Nothing else will suffice. Because Jesus will consume you. Jesus will overwhelm you. To be absent from the body. We pray for healing, but when healing don't come, we get discouraged instead of getting excited. God has a plan. Maybe God needs to use your suffering to allow someone else to see that His grace is sufficient to carry you through. How many of you would have lasted the first 12 hours in Job's place? Before he got sick, he just lost all his wealth. All his children were killed. And Job didn't sit around and Job didn't cry and Job didn't moan. The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, and he worshiped God. It said he worshiped God. He done lost everything that he had. The only thing that was left was his wife. Now, wives, you take notice of this. The only thing the devil left him. I'm being serious. Look, you can be a help or you can be a hindrance. Husbands, the shoe can fit on the other foot too. The only thing that the devil left Job was his wife, because he was going to use her to get to Job. He'll use you. He'll use whatever. But even when she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, woman, you speak like a foolish one. But Job worshiped God. You know, Father's Day, it's a good time to ask yourself, Dad, am I being the dad that I need to be? Am I being the encouragement to my wife and my children? God can use you to encourage or discourage. Moms, kids, it's Father's Day. Are you being the encouragement to the father, your husband, that you should be? Are you uplifting and building him up and strengthening him? Or are you like Job's wife, or are you tearing down? It's a good question to ask yourself sometimes. See, the devil can use you, but God can use you too. In the midst of all that, Job just said, I'm just going to keep on serving God. In the midst of all that, Job said, I'm just going to keep on worshiping God. When his body was stricken with sores from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, he was covered with boils all over. He said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job was still worshiping God. See, sometimes we forget that maybe our afflictions, sometimes maybe we forget that the trouble that we're going through it because someone needs to see that God is able to sustain you in the midst of your most trying time in life. If he delivers me, he's able to, that's good. But if he lets me go through the fire, if he lets me go to the furnace of affliction, that's all right, because if that's where he wants me, that's where I'm going to be. Amen. It's all right when you're preaching it from this side, but I've seen it lived and preached from the other side. I remember when Brother Benny Johnson's dad was dying, he sent word not to pray for healing, but just to pray that God's grace would be upon him and help him, because he knew God's grace was sufficient. Our missionary that we support every year in Bible school, we support a missionary, and the offering goes to a missionary. We have a contest between the boys and the girls, and it gets exciting sometimes. And there will not be a tie this year. I can guarantee you that. Amen. It will be what it is. Amen. But I want you to know something. These missionaries that we support, some of them go through the fire. Matter of fact, this year we're supporting Brother Billy Ford. He's a missionary that ministers to the Tahanta Ono Odom Nation, the T.O. Nation they call it, but they're in Arizona. He sent me a message this morning as they started out. He said the temperatures are already getting to 115 degrees during the day. He said he's had to do some work. Now, their ministry is unique, because you're not allowed to purchase land. They cannot buy land on the reservation. They cannot build a church on the reservation, but they're allowed to go and teach on the reservation. So they take a truck, and they've got a trailer that they designed and had special built that they can pull, and they go from village to village, and they set up, and they hold church, and they hold children's class every day. They're on the road every day. They're teaching, and the only times they don't is if they're broke down and got to work on something. And I was talking to him the other day, and he said, "Brother," he said, "by 9 o'clock in the morning, your tools are so hot you can't even touch them." He said it gets to 115 degrees by mid morning. He said, if you got to do anything, you got to get up before sunrise and start doing it. And they travel, and they travel hundreds of miles to pull this trailer to go and to just teach boys and girls and tell them about Jesus, to hold church services somewhere and tell them about the Lord. And they break down. They have problems. Everything just don't go smooth. But they don't quit. They just keep trusting God. Amen. They just keep depending on Him. Mm-hmm. And that's the way our missionaries are around the world. If you hear, I got to get Brother Peter back here again. His testimony is just a tremendous one. He was raised up in communist Yugoslavia, and he was raised under the communist regime there. And as a young man, he was put in a labor camp because of his Christian beliefs, and because he was a Christian, and you know how God just worked things and done things and moved in his life. And my favorite part of his testimony was when he said when they put him in prison and they put him in that labor camp, and as he went in there, he said, I'm just not going to tell anybody I'm a Christian. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I just try to get through this. And this labor camp where every week, he said, they would get together. They tell you how many hands were lost, how many legs were lost, how many lives were lost. And you know, you were just expendable. If you died in the labor that they had you doing, it was just inconsequential part of the process that they were going through. You meant nothing. You were just a number. And every week they'd tell all the prisoners, now, you know, this is how many died doing the work. This is how many, you know, lost a finger, how many lost a hand, how many lost a leg, something or something happened. So he decided, I'm just going to try to get through this thing and survive it. He said after about 2 weeks in this prison camp, he said, all the prisoners in the barracks I was in, he said, they all gathered around me one night and they thought I was a spy and they were going to do me in. And he said, you just don't participate with the rest of us. You don't gamble with us, and you don't steal the food with us, and you don't do the things that we're doing, and you don't tell the jokes, and you don't talk like us. We know you're a spy. He says, no, you got it wrong. He said, I'm a Christian. And I don't do those things because I'm a Christian. You see, even in an adverse situation, God can still use you to be a witness. He didn't say anything, but he lived a life that said enough. The Hebrew children said, we're not careful to answer you. Our God can, but if he don't, we're not changing our mind. If this church in every church across America that profess to know Christ could just learn that principle right there. That we're going to trust God even when things don't look good to us. We're going to trust God even when things go contrary to what we was hoping for. It would make a difference in this country. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Y'all got to pardon me. This straw is killing my throat this morning. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see, there was no false gods that they were going to worship. There was no fear of what man could do. And there was no hurt that the fire could bring upon them. You say, now, we have record after record of Christians who've been burned at the stake. Amen. But Jesus said, don't worry about the ones that can destroy the flesh. Don't worry about the ones that can destroy the body. He said, what your concern needs to be about is the one that can destroy the soul. Man only has power over this flesh. Man can only kill you one time. Amen. But God can put you in a place where you will go through the pangs of death for all of eternity. You'll never cease to suffer. You'll never cease to be touched and to be affected by this. We get attached to this flesh and we get wrapped up in it, and we don't want to see beyond what we can see here. We don't want to see beyond what we can understand and know and comprehend. We don't want to think beyond to the other side. You know, there were men who got to get a vision. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Paul got to hear things that were unlawful for him to even speak. And I believe he's seen things that he couldn't even describe. John the Revelator, he got to see things in the future. He got to see things beyond that he couldn't even begin to describe. And he had a hard time trying to, I think, pin it down in a way that we would be able to understand what he was saying some 2,000 years ago as he pinned these things down. He got a little bit of vision. Old Stephen, as he was being stoned, he got a vision into the glory world. And when he got a vision into the glory world, he knew that this world had no more hold upon him and had no more affection to him. In Colossians 3, 1 to 3, the Bible says, set your affections on the things above and not on the things of this world. If we look beyond this world, if we learn to see beyond what we have here. Now, I like my life. I have a comfortable life. I have a blessed life. I'm among the top 1% of the blessed, most blessed people in this world. If you're in America, you are too. If you're in America and you got any change at all in your pocket. You're in the 3% of the most wealthy people. I'm talking about just change. If you got change in your pocket, you're among the 3% of the most wealthy people on the face of the earth. With just some pennies, some nickels, some dimes and quarters. I know I'm a blessed man. I know how blessed I am. And I'm not in a hurry to give it up, but praise God, if the Lord said, it's time to go. Man, you don't have to worry about me. I told him, you know, when it comes time to retire, they said, oh, you're not going to retire. You're going to stay. You'll never retire. Steve comes, our director, he'd come down. He said, Blade, you're not going to retire. He said, you're not going anywhere. You like what you do too much. You're not going to retire. I said, Steve, if you come in here and you see scratches in the concrete, you'll know that the only way they got there was they drug me out of here with a team of horses to make me stay. Because I'm leaving. I like my life. I'm retired. I enjoy my life. Everybody says, how do you like retirement? I said, it's the best job I ever had. Amen? I don't know. Isn't that a dumb question? How do you like retirement? How many of you here are retired? How many can attest it's the best job you ever had? Amen? Amen. You know, it's nothing to worry about. It's nothing to fret over. I like it. But I also know one day I'm going to graduate. Amen? And when it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. I don't want to go today or tomorrow. But if the Lord says it's time, you're not going to see claw marks. You know, at the farm, you're not going to see claw marks in the church where they had to drag me into heaven. Amen. When my time comes to go, I'm gone. I got to call me a dreamer, because I call it mine. It's heaven. I don't care. Call me crazy, because I'm homesick for it. Yet I've never been there. Call me a dreamer, because that's all that I am. Because I call it mine. Call me anything, but when he calls me, call me gone. Call me gone. Cause I'll be leaving. Call me gone. Cause you'll be grieving if you're left here without Jesus to call on. Call me gone. No more heartaches. Call me gone. Cause all that it takes is for me to hear him call and call me gone. And that's the way it's going to be, folks. Amen. I'm not going to have to be drug out of here. I'm ready to go. Amen. My affections are set on things above. I'm ready to go and be in his presence. I'm ready to worship him. I'm ready to see all that he has prepared and all that he has in store for me. I'm ready for that home that he's going and made ready for me. And I'm not worried about what happens here. I'm not worried about how I go. They can shoot me. They can burn me. They can hang me. They can electrocute me. They can do it however they want to. They can throw me in the ground and just bury me. It don't matter. Once this old flesh is dead, it's dead, it's gone. But praise God, one day it's going to rise again. Amen. They can put it in the ground. They can bury it. They can burn it. They can do whatever they want to. But praise God, the Bible says that when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm not worried about it. And the only fire, the primitive quartet, you sing that song, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my soul. Remember when they tried to burn old Polycarp? The fire wouldn't burn him. Remember that when they martyred him? They told him, said, if you recant and we'll just worship the gods of Rome. They said, we'll spare your life. Just deny your God and worship our gods. He said, why would I deny him now? For these 85 years, he's been nothing but good to me. Amen. And they took old Polycarp out. They tied him to the stakes. They lit the flames around him. And the flames would not consume him. They finally speared the old man to kill him. Because the fire wouldn't kill him. Praise God, they could only kill him once. They could only take this old body once. But in a nanosecond, he was in the presence of God. Amen. See, we worry about the flames, but I don't fear the fire. Amen. I don't fret the flames. I got to die somehow or another. She wants to go together, so it's probably going to be in some horrible accident. Amen. I told her, that's so selfish. Just because she's got to die, I got to die with her. Amen. It's so romantic. That's a woman's frame of mind. It's so romantic. We die together. I'm telling you, to die together means some horrible accident or something, most likely. Look up one day, big old tractor trailer. That's your last thought in this life. But praise God, it'll all be over. Amen. It'll be done. It don't matter how I go. What matters is where I go. Amen. Amen. The Hebrew children were willing to trust God. And were willing to say that even if he decides not to deliver us, so be it. We're still not going to worship your God. And as they threw them into the flame, the Bible doesn't say anywhere where they fought and tried to escape. They went and they threw them into the flame, but the flame had no power. The flame brought no hurt. Because when old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, the Bible says he was astonished. He couldn't believe what was before his eyes. He said, didn't we throw three men? They said, true, O king. He said, behold, I see four men loosed, unhurt, walking around. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Here's a good place to, if you have an NIV Bible, to realize that you got the wrong Bible. Your NIV Bible will say right here, he's like the son of, like a son of the gods. My King James Bible and the true translations say the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Amen. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. I'm thankful that he still shows up in the midst of the fire. He didn't keep him from the fire, but he showed up in the fire. It doesn't mean that you won't go through problems. It just means that he'll be there with you. Amen. They didn't worry about the fire. They didn't fear that. But when Nebuchadnezzar seen that, now he'd done had a dream, and Daniel had done told him about his bad self in the dream. He'd done been witness to and testified to. He'd done seen what God could do when nobody else could tell him his dream, because he couldn't remember the dream. Daniel could remember, could tell him what the dream was all about. When no one else is able to do, and God does, it testifies to God's greatness, God's exclusivity. Because no one else can do what my God can do. Amen. And sometimes we lose sight of that, as old Nebuchadnezzar did. And sometimes we get all full of ourselves and we want to build other gods up in our lives, and we find out eventually that our gods are no gods, just like God said they were there in Jeremiah. And when we go through a trial that no one else can go through with us, and there's trials that we go through, there's hurts that we go through that no one else can. Your spouse doesn't even understand and can't even comprehend. Your parents, your children can't comprehend, can't understand. You've lost a loved one, and no one can quite pinpoint just exactly what that means to you. But that hurt will be different for you than it will for somebody else. But God understands. He can be there with you. When you're going through that trial of the flesh, I asked the Sunday school class this morning to pray for our granddaughter. She's been through it. She got bad news this week, not news she was wanting to hear. And they told her that cancer is still lighting up. They've got to find out where it's at. She's going to go through a different type of radiation than she did the last time, but she still can't be around Colton for 3 days. They're going to do 2 days of radiation treatment, give her a day break, and then they're going to do a PET scan to find out where it's at. Find out what all is going on. You get news like that, it's crushing. It's crushing. What can you say? What can you do? Honey, we're praying for you. But you know who can be right there with her? Jesus can. Amen. Amen. Jesus can. When the world sees us go through the fire, and see us praise Jesus in the midst of the fire, see us give glory to God when things are happening we don't comprehend, we don't understand, we don't know. They can't help but be astonished at the peace that He brings, the joy that He can instill in the midst of whatever. Look at Nebuchadnezzar's reaction. It said, verse 26, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Here is the man that threw them in the fiery furnace because they refused to worship his gods. That's now testifying that you're the servants of the Most High God. And because you are, come forth. He didn't ask, were they able? He didn't ask, could they? He could see plainly that God was with them in the midst of the furnace. He said, come forth. Come hither. What a testimony. What a triumph. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. I've been told the fellowship hall might still smell. Might have to air it out a little more. These men came out of the fiery furnace. And they saw that there was no hurt upon them. There was no doubt that God had done this. There was no doubt that God was with them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. What did he say there? And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship my God. The Bible says that we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. Amen. Are you willing to yield yourself, willing to yield your body, willing to let God be glorified in whatever way he wants to use you to glorify himself? Not glorify you, but to glorify himself. Amen. Even Nebuchadnezzar had to give the testimony that they were willing to give everything to God if that's what it took, other than worship his God. And verse 29 says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the gods of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. No doubt. Servants of the Most High God, come here. No doubt. No hurt upon them. No doubt. They yielded their bodies rather than worship my God. No doubt. And nobody better ever say anything against this living God. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. Their absolute trust in God allowed them to stand fearless and faithful and change the hearts of those around them. We have the privilege, just as they did, to choose what we was going to do. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He said, you choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You can serve the gods of the Egyptians whom you served on the other side of the flood. Or you can serve God who's brought you out. But choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, several hundred years later, had to make a choice. Choose, what are you going to do? Are you going to bow down when you hear the music and serve my gods? Or are you going to serve your God? In 2019, several hundred years removed again, the question is still relevant. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose Jesus? Or are you going to choose self? Are you going to choose Jesus? Are you going to choose the world? Are you going to choose Jesus? Choose what you want. I'll take Jesus every time. Every time. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation. You got to choose.